The last one was a particular meaningful verse for Dr. and Mrs. Lloyd-Jones. Now this psalm has many wonderful expressions and great aspirations, great expressions of the love of the Word of God, but it ends most humbly. It's a surprising end. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. After all he said, he comes down to this verse. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Now, the psalm is a long psalm, and in many ways, life is long too. It's short in other ways. It passes quickly, and the life we have is quickly gone, and as the scriptures say, the place knoweth it no more. But it's long enough for us to go astray, and more than once. And how quickly and easily we can go astray. We can be slowly winding down in weakness, and the inevitable comes, and we slide away from the things of God. Or it can come in the midst of strength, and we can be in a time when all is well, and so quickly we can go astray. So, note first of all this phrase, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Now, we'll look this coming Lord's Day on the theme of sheep and lost sheep. But here, just the aspect particularly of going astray. What are the causes of going astray, or some of the causes? And they're only some. Besetting sins. Sin will do it. And besetting sins have their impact. And they cause us to go astray. Unless they are fought and conquered, they will have their impact. And certainly sin will do it. It's one of the great destroyers of our progress, sin. And sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, we wash in the blood of Christ. And salvation and forgiveness is a great theme of the gospel. But in terms of our enjoyment of that gospel and our progress in it, and of course, sin gets in the way. Sin even seems to have a power over us to remove us from Jesus Christ. And the things which we should have a taste for, we lose a taste for, because we cannot have our sin and have Christ. And so it's a choice very often, and we go the way of our great enemy of sin. And just the noise of a worldly world, just the din of it, it's dominating. It would have been the same back in the time of the psalmist, back in the time of the New Testament, and it is the same for us. The world has an ability to dominate us, to fill our ears and fill our eyes, and can call us away. And there's a sense here, if you picture being close to the Good Shepherd, close to Christ, and we have a theme here of the lost sheep, and that we are following him and near him. But the world has the ability to call us away, and it speaks to us in a way. It's noisy, but it seems to allure us and draw us away. It fascinates us. And it attracts the flesh as well. It demands our work and do it as well. Not just the worldliness, the general worldliness, but work. You know, if we are taken up with work and it becomes our focus, then we lose our step. And before we know it, we're a step behind the Saviour, and maybe two. And these things can cause us to go astray. These are real things, aren't they? These are the things which cause us to go astray. And I have more, of course, but these are the very things that trouble us. And we all know of these things. And events in life can do it. There are many events in life, and they can all have an accumulative effect, but one event can do it. One event can just be like a great sound and a disturbance, and suddenly we've lost our place, and our Saviour's gone, and where's he gone? And we find ourselves in a frightening place and a cold place. A crisis especially will do it. A crisis doesn't necessarily send us to Christ. A crisis can also be a cause of us going astray. It frightens us, and we're paralyzed, and it is a great effort to call upon the Lord. And we'll come to that in a moment, how we address these things. But I'm just listening to you, all the things which can do it. There are other events in life, promotion at work, going back to work, but also marriage. Marriage can do it. Having children can do it. All these things can cause you to lose your place and distract you. Marriage is a new challenge. You've sought the Lord on your own, but together, are you stronger or are you weaker? Hopefully you are stronger and more than the sum of the parts even. That's ideal, what marriage should do, to make you stronger in the Lord, heirs together of the grace of life. But all these things have damaging potential too. The focus on each other instead of the Lord, and suddenly he's not near you. Tiredness and weariness of life, ill health is part of that, but also just general tiredness and weariness of life, being worn down. Now, this can happen early in life, but most definitely happens later in life as you get older and your faculties fail. Just weariness. And it's as if it's almost in time, so to speak, that our Saviour's walking and we become weary and we fall behind. It's like that, but spiritually so. And we find ourselves not animated in our heart, not attentive to the word, and loss of concentration. You know, to go on to the Lord, you need concentration. You need to really follow him with all your might. Nothing short will do. If you're not struggling with all your might, then you will go astray. There's no question about it. You can't amble and hope that you're keeping pace with the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen like that. If you're ambling, you'll find you're going a different pace to the Saviour. There's something about the Saviour's presence which is stirring and animating and makes you lively in your heart. It's a good pace, and a good pace of life. A good, right pace of life, I suggest. I'm not saying we shouldn't run, but sometimes we can be driven by the devil. And not to rush or not to just idle, but it's a good, solid pace, which is good. But these things, like weariness of life, and then linked to that really is disappointments of life. With this can come depressions of spirit, and these are powerful things. And disappointments of life can make you grieve with the Lord. And you don't actually say it, but you're disappointed with God. You cannot believe that maybe the Lord has allowed something in your life and it's difficult for you to deal with. And of course, you have to come to the place that we are nothing. We deserve judgment. And everything we have is the grace of God. And then to believe that he has a purpose in all things. And these are the things that address that problem. But nevertheless, disappointments of life can cause us to just, not just fall back, but actually take a step away from the Saviour, even. We don't do it consciously, but it's as if we've been grieved by disappointment. Your own wisdom can cause a problem and cause you to go a different way. Unless you're biblical and attentive and prayerful, and spiritual in your attitude, you follow your own wisdom and you will go astray. And your own wisdom will not take you alongside Jesus Christ. Even though you're born again, even though you are a true Christian, you follow your own wisdom, you'll find, it might be at first only ever so slightly off beam, but you'll find you'll depart away from the Saviour. We need to be ever so careful, ever so attentive to life's decisions. Every decision is important. Every day is important. I would say every hour is important. Today, this moment is vital. That is the way to live, and to live next to the Saviour. And then one more thought, family and friends call you away in so many ways. And not just in peer pressure when you're young, but throughout your life. Those who maybe don't want you to go so close to the Saviour, or those who just want you to go their way, can just influence your decisions, take you away from the means of grace, and can cause you to just distance yourself from Jesus Christ. And he is the best company. Let's just face it this evening. There's nobody like our Lord Jesus Christ. If we walk with him, we shall be a better friend. We shall be a better husband, better wife, better child, better parent, better employee, better everything. Everything is in alignment. Everything is out of sync when we're not walking with him. Everything is right. We find with him just that perfect company. There's no company like it that can so make us good in everything. The more we are with him, the better we are in all things. But the point I'm making here is this. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Something quite desperate about that phrase, isn't it? A lost sheep. A lost sheep is in danger. A lost sheep is quite helpless. A lost sheep is not able to be protected or have provisions. All kinds of things can happen to a lost sheep. And there's something quite desperate and pathetic about this picture. And it's a lovely honesty here. It does touch your hearts, doesn't it? If you look at the psalmist, he says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. We wouldn't easily say those words ourselves, would we? But sometimes we can confess those things to the Lord. Lord, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Then what must you do? Well, the answer is in our verse. We need not look very far. Look at the words. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Let's take the last first. For I do not forget thy commandments. As I said earlier, holding on for dear life is a very biblical response. If you look at Hebrews, there's a lot in that epistle about holding on for dear life. You know, this world, this journey is not a safe place for us. It's not a safe place for unbelievers, but for believers, we have an enemy. We have those evil spirits about us to torment us and to trouble us. We have many dangers in the world and dangers within. And so, if we are to go through this life in one piece, speaking from a Christian wholeness point of view, then we have to hold on. If I venture to say, if you're not holding on, I think you've probably already gone astray. To hold on. And the way you do that is, well, maybe go no further than this psalm. What is this psalm all about? But the words of the Lord. What better things to hold on to. Hold on to his words. Nothing else in this world is trustworthy. Now, even sometimes Christian advice can be, you know, fallible or faulty. I remember Pastor Puyan saying once in a minister's fraternal, and we're talking about the order of service and the hymns and the preaching, and Puyan said, I love the reading of the word of God is the only part that's infallible. And there's something with the word of God, you can hold on to it like an anchor into rock. And so put your roots, so to speak, in the word of God, grip them. And for that, what must you do? Well, have a structure in life. You know, if you were climbing a rock face, you know, every grip is important. You can't say, well, I got 99% of them right, and one of them I just didn't take hold of the rock. Well, you know, you're going to fall. And it's a sense with all the days of your life, every day has to be right, cut in or gripped onto that rock face, so to speak, to use that illustration. You know, we have to hold on to the word of God to have this structure, so then if somehow we lose our step, or we stumble, or the rock below us gives a little, or there's a wind, or there's something like falling down above us, as happens in mountains sometimes, like an ice avalanche and something like that, then we have a hope, don't we? We are holding on to our security and our stronghold in the Word of God. These are God's words. And they're not just that, but the Spirit takes them and gives them to us. We have gifts, you could say, from day to day. We read the Word of God, and the Spirit takes part of that section you're reading and says, there you are. Hold on to this. Most certainly, our personal involvement, we can't ignore that. We have a duty to hold on for dear life. But look at what else he says. Seek thy servant. It makes you think, doesn't it, of the New Testament and Christ and the lost sheep and seeking and finding him, one and the 99, and finding the lost sheep and bringing back the lost sheep on his shoulders. Seek thy servant. Knowing that even my holding on might not do it. And I need the Lord to help me and find me and to make me safe. If I'm by his side, if I'm in the cleft of the rock as in Jesus Christ, then I am safe indeed. Seek thy servant. And so you will find in life, when you are in this place of great weakness, you cry for help and grace. And, you know, he hears us. The shepherd has an ear for the bleat of the sheep. And he hears us. He's got perfect hearing. And he will seek us and find us. If we cry to him, he will not ignore us. If he does ignore us, well, it is only for those reasons. In that well-known illustration of the sheep on the ledge and the farmer ignoring the bleat of the sheep until the sheep was so weak that it couldn't move. And then the farmer went down and rescued the sheep. The reason the farmer did not go before was the sheep was too strong in its own strength and would have struggled and fallen to his death. So the farmer left the sheep, became weak and helpless, so that he could take hold. And the sheep would rely completely upon the shepherd. And the shepherd would lift that sheep to safety. Now that could be a cause, but more often than not, you'll find he'll just find you. And he'll bring you back. Don't forget, we have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And he loves you dearly. And he loves you more than you love yourself. And he will find you. If you call to him, his heart will be moved with compassion. Will it not? Do you think his heart will not be moved when you call upon him? Of course, his heart will be moved when you call upon him. Well, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. A good, good verse. A verse for us to remember and to take encouragement from. An honest verse. What a confession at the end of the psalm. That's where we are very often. A lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. It's full of Christian honesty, humility, Christian determination, and Christian trust in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we know what it is to trust. When things come our way, that this is the moment to trust. So let us trust in him. And we sing the next hymn, which is